Most of us fall into network marketing by accident. We discover a product that we love and we start talking about it. Just quirky things, but we do it for food. We do it for movies. It's just part of life. We talk about it. And I think naturally when we have that great experience, we go, oh, well, maybe I could do this. And then we sometimes, like if you're lucky, you fall into the right company with the right leader, with the right product timing. All these things that I want to talk about to answer your question. Sometimes we luck out and we fall into the right company, but sometimes we don't and we jump in wholeheartedly just because we're ignorant. We don't know what we don't know. And we haven't done enough research to realize that, oh, it's a great product. I'll keep consuming it, but maybe from a business perspective, it's not the best model for me. And trial and error, there's nothing wrong with that. Hey, if you make a mistake, you can always begin again. There's nothing wrong there. But there are certainly some things that having spent some time in the industry, studying it when I was myself struggling, there's certain things that I think people could really do to avoid some of those pitfalls. So I'm going to just list off some pillars and then we can talk about which way we want the conversation to go.
Hello, everybody. I just wanted to hop on here quickly before the episode begins and share a promotion that I'm running for the rest of April and all of May that may interest those of you who like to set goals, who are working on yourself, who are entrepreneurs, and want something more, better, different when it comes to your personal and professional life. And I'm offering a 2-hour coaching package for those of you who may feel a little bit stuck or you're looking for some clarity around what you actually want, what goals you want to set. So if you want some support in what is your vision, what are your values, and how do you align those two things to set goals that internally inspire you? So when you get up in the morning, you're excited, right, about getting into action towards the things that you say that you want. So if that resonates with you, this package would be a fit. And then also possibly you're in momentum, you're creating results, and you want to go to the next level, yet you're in a little bit of confusion. You're not quite fulfilled with where you're at, and you don't know what to do or how to do it to elevate your results to the next level of whatever your desired success is in all areas of your life, right? Your physical health, your business, your relationships, your wealth, giving back, all of those things. So if that resonates with you as well, this package would be a fit. And so if this interests you, just go into the show notes and you'll see a link to my website and click on there and you'll see the promotion. It's a 2-hour coaching package and I'm offering $100 off for the rest of April and all of May. So $100 off. I would love to talk to those of you who would like that support and guide you and support you in getting your goals. And so take advantage of that. Look forward to connecting with those of you that do. And just once again, thanks so much for being here. I hope you're getting value. Thanks for listening. And let's get back and dive into this episode. Excited for you to hear what's coming up. Have a great day. Okay, welcome fellow entrepreneurs and goal getters to Entrepreneurial Elevation, Unleashing Greatness Within with myself, your host, Kelly Beveridge, my special guest today, Rebecca Oakes. And super excited to have her. She is a happily married mom of 4. She's a teacher by profession, and she started earning extra income, which we're going to talk about in 2016, through going into the network marketing industry. And through her journey, she's become a 6-figure USD earner. And really excited just to talk to her about the value of the network marketing industry, what she looks for when choosing one, the qualities of leadership, how to build a business, and really just pick her brain around some of these topics. And so just welcome, Rebecca, and just thanks so much for being here and bringing your knowledge and your passion for everything that you do.
Thank you so much. I'm honored to be here. And yeah, just thanks for asking me to join in the conversation.
I love it. And we met through a mutual friend and she's amazing. And so I know you would be amazing. And after talking to you, I'm just inspired by your story. And we have a mutual affection for the network marketing industry, which I think can have a stigma around it sometimes, right? And so I love speaking to other people who are passionate about earning extra income and supporting and teaching other people to do the same thing. And I know you have a huge desire to make an impact and teach people, probably comes from your teaching background as well. Yet, quick question to start off with is, I'm just curious because I think nowadays a lot of people are looking for extra ways to earn income and they're curious about what's out there. And what would you say to people who are looking into the network marketing industry, direct sales, MLMs? What would you look for when wanting to choose that as your side hustle?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I really think that it's an important one that people really need to do some studying of the industry first before they wholeheartedly jump into setting up a business. And most of us fall into network marketing by accident. We discover a product that we love and we start talking about it. It's just, I love to talk about shoes and I love to talk about coffee. And if you were to check out my Facebook social media from years ago, you would see that I did that quite naturally. Just quirky things, but we do it for food. We do it for movies. It's just part of life. We talk about it. And I think naturally when we have that great experience, we go, oh, well, maybe I could do this. And then we sometimes, like if you're lucky, you fall into the right company with the right leader, with the right product timing, all these things that I want to talk about to answer your question. Sometimes we luck out and we fall into the right company, but sometimes we don't and we jump in wholeheartedly just because we're ignorant. We don't know what we don't know. Mm-hmm. And we haven't done enough research to realize that, oh, it's a great product. I'll keep consuming it, but maybe from a business perspective, it's not the best model for me. And trial and error, there's nothing wrong with that. Hey, if you make a mistake, you can always begin again. There's nothing wrong there. But there are certainly some things that having spent some time in the industry studying it when I was myself struggling, there's certain things that I think people could really do to avoid some of those pitfalls. So I'm going to just list off some pillars and then we can talk about which way we want the conversation to go. Sometimes when you have a really bad experience in one area, you might feel differently than I do when I come up with the hierarchy of these pillars. But I honestly believe that the leadership or ownership that you join when it comes to choosing a business is the most critical piece because it's going to impact you in so many different ways, whether it's like the development of tools and all kinds of things like that. But most importantly, I think when it comes to ethics, if you cannot align with the ethics of the company owners or the main leaders of the company, I think that's where you're going to come into a problem and not be able to be all that you should be in the business where you want to go in this industry. So I'll just say leadership is huge to me. And that does involve the owners as well as the key leaders in the company. Many people will say, just go and develop your own leadership. You're responsible for your leadership. Yes, you are. You're always responsible for your evolving, maturing self. But there's still a core issue of ethics in the industry and things like that. So I think that's pretty critical. Another critical part is in a rewards plan or a compensation plan, how you get paid. And I think that this is evolving. It's always been evolving if you go backwards and study that. But even today, we're seeing changes coming into the industry the past couple of years, especially post-COVID, that just didn't happen before COVID in other companies. And so what happens is either companies have to evolve or they disappear. And I think it's really important to look at how the compensation works and that leads into duplication because the traditional models in the network marketing industry had people that you'd hear these unicorn stories. Somebody earned multiple millions of dollars, but it was always the same five or so people at the top of that company earning that money. When you change the rewards plan and you put a duplication model in place and you can teach your newest people who don't have the experience what to do step by step, roadmap it out, you're going to see how far you can go. And so those are kind of things that I think are really important for somebody who's wanting to jump in here. Of course, you need to have a good product because a product that isn't consumable and that doesn't work isn't going to sell. You want to look for those things that are consumable. Like I was married a long time ago and we had a Tupperware wedding shower for myself. And I still have that product. Awesome. I don't want to buy more Tupperware. It was a massive party. Everybody bought me a lot of things and I couldn't hardly pick out what I needed. But that's something that's not really consumable. So if you have a consumable product that's really effective, you can do really well with that kind of a product. And then I think the fourth thing is that you've got to go forward with the right mindset, and you got to set your expectations and your level of accountability and consistency. And you got to evolve as an individual and become that leader that you're trying to recruit. So those are four pillars that I think are really important to your keys to success. And you're not going to have mastery of everything when you start, but I think identifying those first two, when you sit through presentations, everybody's got a Zoom they want to join you, invite you to. They've got recordings that they want you to listen to. That's pretty important to start there, but know that there are pillars that hold this company up and hold you up and make the success or the pathway to success possible.
Oh my gosh. Everything you shared is really great. And I agree with you. And because the truth is, and you and I talked about this before, is that there is actually a lot of great products out there, right? And one, you do got to love the product and use the product and be a product of the product and make sure it's quality and consumable and all those things. And then I think secondly, a lot of times people, they trust the person who's inviting them in, and then that's their due diligence, right? And it's not a bad thing. Yet I would say, absolutely, you want to take it a step further if you're in research mode about which company to go with, which team you want to be with, who is a leader you want to align with. And all those things you talked about are so true, and making sure you have strong leadership and that there's trust there, because you're bringing friends and family and people into the business, right? You want to make sure that the values are there and the ethics are there. Obviously, you want people to be rewarded for their hard work. It's why people are looking for companies to partner with. They're looking for extra income with a great compensation plan and being willing to change your right. And just a lot of the things that you shared. So I love that. And so I have a question. I'm curious, what do you think? Because you and I can sit here and we're going to chat more and dive more into this. And yet my question I have for you is, why do you think a lot of people have a negative mindset around network marketing? Because I would also say that another pillar to possibly add to is be open-minded, because you said we don't know what we don't know. And I was in the industry for 12 years, and it's very common that people are skeptical, or there's fear there, or they just don't have an understanding of the industry. And there's this negative vibe around it sometimes with people. Why do you think that is?
I think that's a multifaceted answer. I think that number one, the old model of how this all started, it just wasn't as sophisticated as it is today. And I do believe that it was really set up to the people who got in early, or the ownership, or those top people, that they could make a lot of money. But that's evolving now. Like, people are more informed, and with social media, you can't hide these things. So I think that all of the gotchas that used to be involved with other companies, for example, you used to have to stock product in your own home, and then you'd be responsible for shipping that out and getting it to all your clients. Amazon changed all that, ladies and gentlemen. We have drop shipping, and we send that around the world within days. So either you get with the times, or that company doesn't survive. So I think people are thinking back to some of the original companies like Shaklee, and I already dropped Tupperware's name and things like that. And they have this idea of some person who's not well educated, who is doing a home party, who is maybe doing some kind of a show. And they're thinking like, geez, that's not me. And so we have really moved into the world of influencers and e-commerce, and we've really changed the industry. But I think people still have the idea of that in their mind. The other thing, and it's a double-edged sword. It brings greatness and great freedom, but it also can have, if you have the wrong people involved, we always have this saying in my company, don't sponsor yucky people. And we say that nicely, but honestly, you want people of integrity. You truly do. It's never worth it to recruit somebody who doesn't have that code of ethics, because it creates problems down the road. And when you're operating, like if I'm a teacher, for example, there's a code of ethics that I have to follow. A lawyer has it, an accountant, a doctor, everybody has that. But in the network marketing industry, where we're basically a lot of people there's no boss here. I'm just in my room by myself working my business. If you have people that have done unethical things, it can taint the industry. So it's a responsibility of all of us who are in this industry to raise that bar and keep it elevated, make sure that we're not acting that way, because that is going to turn somebody off. They're going to say, I put all this effort into it. I bought all this product and I got nothing out of it. And we don't want that. And I think that comes with the old style model. There's a third thing out there I do think that needs to be discussed, and business as a whole. People go to university or college to develop their knowledge and their image. And then they invest hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars, into starting up a business if it's bricks and mortar. And there's this, it's not snobbery, but it's kind of like that's business. What you're doing is not business. So there's also that perspective of saying, like, you don't really know what business is. And I'm sitting here going, yeah, I think I do, but I don't want the headache of $1 million overhead and all the accounts payable, accounts receivable and insurance and all that other kind of stuff. I just like my time freedom and the ability to earn on my time, like how I want to. So I think that's what we're fighting. And as the world is evolving, again, Amazon has forced a lot of changes. And as we're evolving in the industry, I'm seeing more success as long as it's ethical. I'm seeing change in perception of, especially with social media and being able to put a professional image out there or a consistent image out there anyway. And I'm seeing people going, geez, I really value that lifestyle. I think today's young people, because I'm still involved in the teaching profession somewhat, my husband is still involved in it, young adults as my own children and nieces and nephews, I think the value system has evolved a little bit. Whereas for around here anyway, we used to think you needed a big home, you needed lots of cars, you needed all the toys. And I'm seeing a shift in the young adult mind that says, no, I want a small home. I want a home that I can maintain, that's maybe going to be off the power grid so that I can actually afford to operate this. And I want that travel experience. And I want that. They're valuing things a little differently. And so I think that the social media side of network marketing is appealing to a lifestyle choice. Yeah. I hope I'm answering your question.
You answered that perfectly. Like that. That's just, my mind is going in a lot of different directions because everything you shared was so valuable. And I think that there's so much truth in that. Like when I first got involved in network marketing, if I think of the bell curve where there's like the innovators and the early adopters and the late adopters and the laggards, where how people like to come into a market or make decisions. And I really feel like network marketing is still in that early adopter stage where people are still wanting to see their friend or family member be successful possibly before they dive in, or they just want some more evidence. And so I get excited by that because I feel like there's so much more of the market that can be captured by the industry. So I think that's one thing. And you talked about the tradition of it too, right? Where it's actually now starting to get looked at as a profession. It is professional. And with the gen, if we talk about the millennials and the Gen Zs coming up, like it's actually how they want to live their lifestyle. They could work and live from their phone, right? And I think that's huge. What do you think are some of the other benefits of the industry? So you talked a little bit about the startup fees. Sometimes there's zero startup fees, the low investments, the low risk to begin with. What would you say are some of the blessings, just so that the listeners can hear the benefits of being able to be your own business owner? And it doesn't have to look like taking out these big loans, buying a brick and mortar. You can build your business from your phone, from home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that is so true, that this whole space is evolving. Like not everybody is into necessarily multi-level network marketing. Network marketing can look different for different reasons. Let's just look at people who are photographers. Clearly it's their own skill. It's their own name, but you would go out and network. If you were a mortgage broker, you'd go network. You need a clientele. If you run a car dealership, you network. You need to have the contacts to be able to have an income, to be able to be good at what you're doing. Now, here's the thing. When you have that, let's say in a car dealership, you actually are capped. There's only so much that they're going to pay you. You can work harder, maybe get more commissions and things like that. Maybe you'll go up the ranks because you're really good at what you do and you start managing and moving into some higher positions. But for the most part, there's a ceiling there. And so that's what people love about the network marketing online space, especially if it's multi-level and things like that, is there is no ceiling. The ceiling that you have is what you put on yourself. So that's also a part of what's really attractive about this, that like you can move fairly quickly as fast as your skill sets are developing, and that's on you to learn it. You can really move quite quickly in this space without investing 2 to 4 years in education. And today, I'm not sure how far your audience reaches, but you did tell me it was predominantly Canadian. So what are we looking at? Maybe 10 to 15 grand a year tuition plus the living expenses. So we're going to need about $25,000 a year to get a young person through their college, university experience. So there's that huge upfront investment. Then you go through the learning curve, as you talked about, in any profession. That takes time. And then you're capped. And it's not that I'm saying don't do that. I'm a teacher, for heaven's sakes, but I'm saying that there is this other opportunity where you can have multiple streams of income coming from whether it's your profession, your job, your investments, network marketing, you can have that. And so you didn't have to invest like thousands of dollars into the training. And I think that there's this low barrier to entry into this field. It's just that as you're going through, you're learning on the job and you need to, that's why I said mentorship and leadership is so important. You need to know where to go to learn the skills. And that's what, I mean, as a teacher, I love that. I love showing people the pathway to that. But you can do that as you're going through this and you can do it. I don't like the term nooks and crannies because that implies it just happens whenever. I think you do need to schedule your daily activity. This is a business. So you do have to pay attention to it consistently on a daily basis, but you can fit it in. Because when I first started, mom of four, I had sports billets living in my home. So there were typically five youth around me at a time working as a teacher. I didn't have family around to help raise my children. I had to figure out where I was fitting this in my day to become proficient at this. So I absolutely scheduled it, but it was little chunks of time that I had in my day. So you can be doing this while you're doing something else. That's another attractive piece. And if you get good at it and put the time in and grow your skill set, you can get to where we are, which is making our main income. The plan B becomes plan A, and you can start to grow an unlimited wealth, really. So yeah, long answer.
No, I love that. And congrats, because I know that's what you've created for you and your family. And so share your story with all of us. You talked a little bit about it, right? Like you're busy, you're a mom of four, you've got billets, you're working as a teacher part-time. Why did you choose to add something else to your plate to earn extra income? Did you see a vision or did you just want extra fun money, or what caused you to get involved?
No, I saw the vision. And I also saw in my profession, for example, that, and it happens in any sector, it happens in any profession, you get some people who are really talented at what they do and they get paid the same as a person who can barely show up on time. So what I saw is that I was passionate about teaching. I was passionate about young people. It didn't seem to matter what I taught. I was just passionate about the person I was investing in. And as I started to have more children and they got busy, I had to start cutting back on the amount I could teach in a day because I couldn't be 100% present at everything. I just did not have enough time in a day. And one of the things that I taught was senior English. So that's a lot of marking. I was carrying those bags of papers around with me everywhere I went. Now, was that fair to my students? Was it fair to my children? I couldn't fit it all in. So I made a decision that I had to fix this problem. And then our oldest, he got involved in elite sport. And we're like, okay, so you made this team. And I was shocked at how much it costs to do this kind of thing in Canada. And then the next one did the same thing. And the next one, and the next one. And when you let one do it, do you say no to the other ones? And you don't know when you're 20 years old and you've never had children that you're going to have four kids who sign up for hockey. Like, you don't know these things. And life got really expensive. And I saw people in business to have no issues affording to put their kids into the activity they wanted to be in. But I was as a double income home with two professions, five university degrees. We're sitting here going, no, you have to make a choice. We can't do that. But no, we can't do that. You can go on that trip with us. Like, we can take a trip or we can play hockey. Which one do you want? So it just, I saw a vision that I needed to fix. I needed to fix a problem. And I saw this is a pathway where I didn't have to go back to university and I could fit this into my day. I could be present with my family, but I could also fit it where it needed to be as long as I did it consistently every day. And I just was looking at the horizon. Yeah, there are ups and downs, just that's life. But I was looking at the horizon of what my vision was of where I was going to go with this as the next thing I was going to do. And what I found was that, and I know we don't want to make income claims, but like there were five figures coming in pretty quickly. And that isn't possible in just going out $20 an hour job. Back then, it probably wasn't even 20. Most women probably pick up another job, get paid $18. At the time, to earn what I thought I was worth, to earn what matched my mindset, my vision, my skill set, I couldn't find somebody to pay me to do that. So I needed to make it happen for myself. And so I went after the network marketing space, and that's the story.
Yeah. It's amazing. And I love your story because it's so relevant. It's so real. And I'm sitting here thinking as you're speaking of all of my friends who are most likely in similar situations because they have kids at the age now that are starting to do these things. And that's very real, right? And like you said, you and your hubby got these university degrees, you've got great jobs, you're making good money. And you're like, how are we going to tell our kids yes to this and no to that? So I think that's a really real, honest conversation. And it doesn't have to be, let's come from lack or let's start saying no to things. It's like you said, how do we fix this? How do we find a solution? And this is why I love, you know, the network marketing industry, because it can really be a solution for everybody with whatever you're looking for when it comes to income. And the thing I want to chat about next is, because I think about the industry and it takes courage to do new things and try new things. And I know for myself, when I was out recruiting, a common theme was people being like, I don't know if I can do it, or I'm just a mom and I don't think that would be their come from a lot of times, or I'm a teacher, like I've never done sales before. Or so there was this fear around, can I do it? Can I do it? And what I love once again about the business model is it will only be a successful business model as great as the leadership is willing to mentor or invest in the people that they bring on board. And so I really believe that it can be for everybody, because you don't need to know. You just have to have a great attitude, be willing to learn and develop skill over time through the repetition, right, of what you're being taught. And so can you speak to that? Let's shift gears a little bit to the leadership piece, because I know you're very passionate about this. What would you say to somebody who's coming on board and they're like, I'm in, you know, I don't know anything. Now what? When it comes to, don't worry, we got you, because here's how we show up as leaders.
Right. Yeah. So that's a hard question just to quickly answer, because people can pretend, right? So like we see it all the time. People pretend. But basically, I think you need to start having conversations with the people who sponsor you, with the people who sponsor them, and see how close you can get to the leadership of your company. I'm talking your main leaders who would be at the top. You have master distributors who have put time in and they have skill sets and they're used to managing large groups of people. You have people by fluke who get to the top. That's just part of life and good for them. They won the lottery. Let's celebrate that. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to your ownership, I find that a lot of times in this industry, there's a big barrier. And like, people put the owner up on a pedestal, but you don't really know that person. You're only seeing them on the stage from afar or whatever. So it takes some onus on you to actually get in and do some research and learn a little bit about these people. Now, for me, like you said, what if I don't have the skill set? How am I going to attract a leader? The most important thing to do is to have a third person in that discussion. So if I'm bringing somebody in to be my business partner and look at this and give it a serious go, I better be bringing in a third person for them to talk to who is like, sidelines are good. So let's say your newest person comes in and says, this is what happened to me. This is what they did to me. There's proof. Okay. You've got proof from the newest person. I made $500 or $500 or $1,000. I got my products paid for. I took my kids on a trip, whatever it was, their idea of success. Your newest person in can share, this is truly what they did. Talk to those people. All right. Then I also should be bringing in the mentors who mentored me, who sponsored me. What did they do for me? Let them see what those tools are that they have, as well as let's talk about the duplication. You've got to look at, see a picture of, draw it out if you have to. I don't know how people learn. Some people are auditory. Others need pictures. It doesn't matter. Some like to read encyclopedias. You need to be presented with that image or that writing, and have it explained to you. This is how I do it. This is the path to $500. This is the path to $5,000. This is the path to however many dollars. And keep going through the conversations. Keep meeting more and more people. What I learned is that, and I don't want to make huge statements for everybody, because when you have an established company, you might not be able to get to the owners. Like, it's just so far removed. So I'm not trying to lock people into an idea. But I was able to see that the owners of my company were happily married people who, and yeah, people divorce or whatever, but these people had a mutual respect. You could see that respect with their spouse. You could see that respect with their family members. You could see that respect with each other and how they were treating people. And when you see that there's some foundation there of integrity and how to behave and those kinds of things. So I think that you need to go through that process of talking to all those types of people and then look at the tools that are presented to them and how they accomplish that path. And that should bring you quite a bit of information or knowledge to help you make a good decision.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm just thinking too, it's who do you want to follow as a leader? Have some clarity around that. Ask yourself those kinds of questions so that you're not going into companies blindly. And then look for the evidence that it's actually happening, like you're sharing. And we used to have a saying in our business, and I think that this could go across the board. If you're ever wanting to invest in somebody, we used to say, tell someone what to do, like follow leaders who are going to tell you what to do. There's a system in place and they're going to give you the knowledge. They're not going to make you search for it, right? They're going to teach you. So tell somebody. The second thing, and this is the piece that gets missed, show them. Show them what to do by doing it with them. And what happens a lot of times is people will tell you and then they say, go do it. And then you're left by yourself to go and attempt to do something. And that's usually, you know, the fear of rejection, whatever it is. What is it? People here get no 7 times and they quit, right? But this piece of showing somebody, investing in the person. And I know that's a value of yours as well, because we talked previously, is like having somebody actually take your hand and say, this is how you actually do it. I'm going to invest in you and show you so that you can then go and do it. And then you can go and teach others. And for people who maybe aren't in the industry who are listening to that, the call, that's really what duplication is you have a system and you duplicate it because you're willing to invest in the people that come in board. And they have to meet you obviously halfway, right? With the expectations of what that looks like. But I think that's also really important. I just wanted to add that because I think that show piece gets missed a lot in leadership. Definitely doesn't sound like in your case, which is awesome. And that's what I would encourage people to look for as well, that people aren't just telling them what to do. And then the flip side of that is that the leaders are actually doing what they're telling the people to do as well. Oh, thanks. Bring back to your integrity. They're being the example. And yeah. Cool. Okay. So that's around leadership. And so let's say you're now involved, you're in your business. What kind of leader do you want to be, Rebecca? Like what's important for you so that now you have a team, right? You've grown, you're creating great money. What kind of leader would you say you are and why is that important?
So I'm probably more servant oriented. And I know that's a phrase that's tossed around really easily in this space, but I do think it comes back to my profession and my teaching and developing those tools and finding out what can I do to support these people as they're moving through the roadmap or the duplication system. So we don't all come into this world with equal talents. And so I have to look at what gifts I was given. And I have to figure out how I'm going to use that to enhance my team. So I personally, being a teacher, I can take things that are fairly complicated and break them down and make it easier to understand. I can also develop the tools for that. So I often will create the document or the video or whatever it is and help the person who can't speak to it, who can't develop that. It's there. And so, for example, if you needed to know something about the human body and what this particular nutrient is going to do for you and how this goes in and how you take it and what you can expect, that's, to me, that's like tying shoelaces. I get that thing very, very easily. But that's my background. I'm a foods and nutrition teacher. I get all this stuff. I understand it. That is not duplicatable. Okay. You cannot think, oh, I have to know that to do this. And I always say up front to people, do not even spend your time trying to master that kind of thing. The video will be created. Share it with them. Bring them to the video. Bring them to that content that person can research so that they know. So for me, I'm very servant oriented that way. And I like to show people that side of things. As you could tell, I'm in the health and wellness space. But you still have to take that same concept and apply that to the earning side as well. If someone is here to build a business, number one, they got to get their products paid for, okay? Because you got them on the products, they're getting the benefits from them, right? So they're making them feel good. But let's face it, in today's economy with the 23% tax and carbon, that people are going to start to cut things out of their life because they're trying to pay bills. So clearly, it's in my best interest to show you how to get your product paid for. So I'm going to create the same tools that I would have taught for the body, the human body, this ingredient. How do you use it? What do you do? I've got to do that for the business side as well and show people how to get your products paid for. Okay, now let's move you into profitability. What does that look like here? How many people do you need to sponsor to make sure those products are paid for? And what's your goal, by the way? What do you want to make extra month this year in order so that inflation doesn't harm you? Okay, I need $1,000. Okay, let's map that out and take a look at what that looks like. Let's get this tool, this picture, this Excel sheet, whatever you need, draw it out and let's get you filling it in. Let's see how we can do this. Oh, you don't know how to speak about that product or that human body or whatever. Let me get on a call with you. let me share with this person my expertise because I can bring that to the table for you. In return, I might need that person who's just new and say, could you get on a call with me because you had this outcome with this product and I would love for you to share that with so-and-so. It goes both ways, but that's what I think is really important with leadership is investing that time in developing those tools and serving them just in that person to help them become successful. They are borrowing my success. And likewise, I borrowed my mentor's success. And so I think if you keep at that, you're going to level up your mentorship. You're going to navigate your way till you get to talk to the better talented people in the industry. I personally didn't know about business, but I sure knew about health and wellness. And I was really good at putting meal plans together and all kinds of things. So when people had problems, they wouldn't even be in my business. They could be on a completely different company, different team, whatever. And they call me up and say, Rebecca, this person has a problem. Can you help us out here? Sure. What are we talking about today? And I would just start helping people out that way. Life has a way of putting that back into you, of giving back what you give out. And so I've had my mentors do the exact same thing for me when it comes to the business side of things. And I've upped my skills because I got to hang out with great mentors.
Yeah, absolutely. And I enjoy that. And I think as you're speaking too, what I love about what you shared is you're in the trenches, right? You're in the trenches with your people within your, with your team. You're sharing your knowledge and you have a gift. And the truth is everybody that comes on board has a gift as well. And if everybody's willing to share and be of service to each other, that is how it works. And as you're speaking, I feel like you and I are recently meeting, so we don't know each other too well, yet I believe based on the business you have and just our conversations we've had that you're also great at creating community, right? And a lot of what you're sharing, that servant leadership, it fosters a great community and culture. And that's crucial in business too, especially if you want to maintain a healthy business, you want to grow in business. And nowadays, more than ever, people are searching and looking for a community, right? Something that they can be a part of that causes them to feel good and become a better version of themselves. What would you say are two or three tips to building community? What have you done to have a flourishing community within your business?
So it probably does fall back to teaching, but there is this piece of you as a teacher that when a student doesn't succeed, you feel responsible. You feel that burden. And so that's the same mindset that you're bringing to the business. And I was really shocked about business to see how different that was from teaching. Like I was so focused on the human and business focuses on the numbers, quite frankly. So I had to learn to like a little bit more about business and not be so emotionally invested because there are some people that do not want to do the work. Okay. So if your person's not going to do the work, there's not much you can do. But for that newest people, they're looking for a voice and they're looking to feel valued, quite frankly. If you can bring the positive mindset to that and lead them and show them ways that they can start to develop themselves, you have to also allow them the voice to have leadership as well. You can't just keep leadership to yourself. You really need to kick the birds out of the nest, right? And so that means to me, like, when I see my business partners coming in, I introduce them to my mentors and the owners of the company, everything. I'm pushing them there because I want them to see the culture for sure, but I want them to do that with their people when they come in. Like I'm wanting everybody to have that voice and have that place to belong. And so the other thing too is like always making sure that you're stretching mindset. When we think about personal development, there's professional development. And comparison being a stealer of joy and fear being a liar. And there's all these cliches that we could talk about, but there's some truth to that. That's what I think is you could pour into people. You can tell them they can do it. You can like, yes, you can. Yes, you can. Let's solve this problem. Here you go. You can gently push them into leadership and give them small tasks to do. I find that people that have the gumption are going to demonstrate it anyway. They're going to show you what they can do and you can easily put them into a role that they can feel leadership in. But yeah, I think that's a huge piece of building that community and making sure that you just have that integrity. Like I said, don't sponsor yucky people. Let's make sure that we have people who are going to do the honorable thing, going to do the right thing. I make mistakes all the time. So could you give me grace and forgive me? Because I promise you, it's going to come back to you. Just keeping that, holding that line, but always also being humble and inviting people into the circle, not pushing people out. Look at me versus them. Don't have that mindset. Let's pull. There's enough for everybody.
Absolutely. And I love what you're sharing. And okay, I have a few more questions. And so as we're speaking, one thing that's coming to my mind is I love entrepreneurship, whatever kind of entrepreneurship or lane somebody's choosing to go in, because I do believe it's personal development with a paycheck. And I know my experience in the industry of network marketing, MLM, direct sales, I believe, my own personal belief is you will be as successful as you're willing to work on yourself. And so I'm just curious for you in reflection, because you started in this industry in 2016, it's now 2024. You're so well-spoken, Rebecca, right? And I know you've created a great business. How have you grown, do you think, in reflection? Like, how is this version of Rebecca different from the 2016 version?
I don't know all the ways, because there's so many changes going on at the same time, and you don't realize sometimes how much you've grown. It was so funny that you say this. Yes, it's income tax season, right? And I felt that really that my daily method of operation that I'd set into place, I felt that kind of flow out the window these past couple of days, because this is now go, because this has to be done. And I was feeling a little bit down, and I was sharing with, and she's actually, I sponsored her. She's really new to the business, actually the whole industry. She started the whole industry in 2023. And I said to her, man, I just feel bad today because I didn't do very well in my daily method of operation. But when I looked back at it, because I was like spending in the trenches of income tax time, I had been in multiple three-way chats to support people. I had actually gotten on Zooms with people and met a new person. I had mailed out a sample to somebody who's never tried my product. I actually sold a bottle of one of my things and drove it into town and dropped it off at the fellow's house. I thought, looking at all the things that I accomplished, and I said, that was a good day. But the thing is that sometimes as you're evolving, you don't realize how far you've come. And I think the servant part, that's always been there because I'm a teacher, right? I think that I've evolved in being able to let go of things I can't control. Because as a teacher, we really try to herd all the cats, and we're trying to keep all the cats going in the right direction and get these students to pass. But in business, you can't always do it to that level. So I think I'm good at releasing some of those things. I understand the industry better. So I've become a student of the industry. I started studying things like compensation plans because I wanted to find something that I thought was really fair. If I'm going to ask people to join me in business, I want to make sure this is a place where they can make money too. They're here to make money. So I think I've evolved and become more, fluent in the different aspects of network marketing, because I didn't really even understand where the paychecks came from when I first started. I just said, tell me where the money's at the first time I joined. How does it all work? I had no idea. And so I remember the first course I ever paid for to teach myself something. Like, I didn't really have a Facebook account when I first started network marketing. I had a flip phone. I wasn't on social media. So I was outdated with my phones. I thought that was nuts, a smartphone. I think in that regard, I've really evolved in terms of mastering the industry. I actually pay for training every single year. It's not just a couple hundred bucks that I pay for. Like, I pay for the best and best to show me how to do what I'm supposed to be doing. So that's probably more where I've seen my skill set develop and just become really grounded in knowing what are those pillars that I got to look for. And do we have a good deal here? And can the average person that's never done network marketing, what do they got to do to be able to make money here? And those kinds of things. I think I've really evolved in that way. So
that's awesome. I love that. Like, tons of growth by the sounds of it. And so curious, where would people find you, Rebecca? So if people are listening to you and they're like, oh my gosh, like, Rebecca sounds amazing. I'm curious. She's piqued my curiosity about her business, the industry, what's available to me. Where can they find you and get a hold of you and just get their questions answered?
Yeah, sure. I think the easiest way is truly going to be social media, because it's all public. And that's the other thing you learn when you join this, is that you switch the privacy on your social media. But my name is, I put my name out there. So Rebecca Oakes, and you'll see that on Facebook. That is my main billing platform. Facebook and Instagram are connected. So my Instagram handle is Oaks Road Wellness, but my name will be tied to that anyway. So that's probably the easiest way to get a hold of me without having to remember a whole bunch of other letters and dots and things like that.
Sure. Yeah. And we'll put your information in the show notes too, and your website and all that good stuff, or whatever you have for us, we'll throw it in there so people can get a hold of you. And so I'm curious, with your business,
What's one of your favorite products? So if you were going to share with us, like, oh my gosh, like, this is a product I would recommend, what's one that you want to talk about?
Oh gosh, like, I could probably look at our top seller, because should I talk about the top seller? Should I talk about my favorite product? Because the top seller is amazing. So I'm going to talk about the top seller because I use it and it's still part of my success journey. It's actually the weight loss piece, even though I know that weight loss is multifaceted. Like, we're not all overweight for the same reason, put it that way. And like, the part that I like, so I'm in my 50s, ladies and gentlemen. So you understand the aging process and the hormone thing and all that kind of stuff. So my favorite product impacts that side of my story. But that's not necessarily relevant to the general public. Like, not everybody's female and not everybody's over 50. So that's truly why I have a favorite product, is because it solves so many issues for me. But I love to see the changes in the people I serve when I look at our product for weight loss. And so this is very unique in the weight loss space. Most people are trying to control blood sugar. They're going to talk about multifacets like gut health and all kinds of things when it comes to weight loss. But we actually have one product. It is a capsule. You just take it in the morning and you're done for the day. And what this does is it impacts your brain. It actually impacts the way that hormones work on your brain. And anytime you have a weight loss problem, people look at me and go, oh, and if a person is larger, let's say a person is, you know, 300 pounds or 250 pounds or whatever. They don't want to believe me about weight loss. They're like, you don't even know what a weight problem is. Like, what are you talking about? I lost 30 pounds. I know what it is. Weight loss is, it's a tricky, tricky thing. But what I can tell you is that it's all about the brain. Menopause, it's all about what's going on in your brain. The way that hormones, everything in our body is driven by some kind of hormone. And so what we have figured out how to do with this one capsule is impact the CB1 receptors. So as people know, the CB1 receptors, if you ever have experience with marijuana, we don't need to talk about that, but you probably watched a movie where somebody got high and they had the munchies after, right? So it's what's happening with that marijuana and the way it's impacting the CB1 receptors. And all of a sudden you start eating. And that is very true, that these hormones, and you don't have to be smoking pot and high, but sugar is addictive. The processed carbohydrate is addictive. The fats that taste good and make you feel good, they're addictive. And so those hormones rushing to that area of the brain is what gets caught in the loop here. And you're all of a sudden having more and more cravings. And you think you're eating supper and you're so full, but that piece of cake looks amazing. I'm going to eat it anyway. We have a product that actually turns that hormone response off. So it's turned that those CB1 receptors all the way down, basically. So you get full when you're full. So you're not going to eat the whole plate just because it's there. And you won't be reaching for that dessert because you're just not hungry and there's no desire for it. This is revolutionary in the weight loss industry. Every weight loss system I've ever looked at comes with a meal plan. It comes with an exercise plan. It comes with X amount of water to drink. You should be doing all of that anyway. But people do that and they go, so was it the product or was it my lifestyle change? So what I can honestly show you is that if you take this product, you will see the change, whether it's inches lost or weight loss. And within days, I'm going to ask you, how does it feel not to be hungry? Because you won't. And the person who is addicted to food, they'll call you crying and they'll say, this is a miracle. How did you do this? Because that person who is 300 pounds or more, and they're going through drive-thrus in the middle of the night. They're hoarding the Halloween candy. They're going and buying all the sales because they have to have that stash in their house. They have no self-control. They do not have it. And this product has turned that completely off. And that kind of person calls me up crying and says, I didn't want to believe you because look at you. You're little compared to me. What do you know about a weight loss problem? So I think that's probably my favorite one. There are other things that product does. It's very healthy in terms of like blood work and your A1C and your cholesterol triglyceride levels and things like that. But when you get those kinds of messages from people and those kinds of calls from people, and I just sometimes just play them out for the room and I go, guys, you need to listen to this. Look at how this person's life was changed because they found this one product. So that's probably my favorite one.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And look, I can tell how passionate you are about it. So that's awesome. And I will say I drink your smart coffee, which is a healthy coffee, everybody. So definitely we'll put a link in the show notes to your products. However, you and I could chat about that too. So people can go and look at them and research them. And once again, get a hold of you and get their questions answered and possibly get on some of your products because they are great. And so, Rebecca, just thanks so much for being here. One final question. Let's bring it back to talking about extra income. And let's say somebody was feeling, going back to where you were in 2016, they're feeling a little bit of pressure. There's some things that they want to do to earn extra or that they need extra income for. And they're just like in that space of being open, yet they don't know what are the next steps, what they should do. What's two or three things you would tell somebody right now if they're like, I want some extra income. What do I do? Where do I go? How do I start looking? What can I do next?
That is a little bit tricky because if you go to Google Land, you're going to get bombarded with a ton of information.
Don't go to Google.
So don't go to Google Land because half of it's going to be true and half it's going to be false. And you might get a false negative. You might get somebody saying something totally negative about a company. There's nothing wrong with it. They just happen to have this experience, but that company could be completely viable and good. So I guess you just have to reach out and ask. You've got to look because we're all over social media. And let's face it, social media is a fraction of what's going on and people only post the best parts of what of their lives on social media. We watch for consistency. That person who shows up all the time, reach out to them and start having a conversation. If you want to reach out to me, that's fine. I'll look for your friend request or your message in behind the scenes and just start going down that path and start to get educated because you can't operate in fear. So like I said to the person, I said, so tell me about the money. I wasn't even thinking about starting in network marketing. I didn't have that thought at that time, but I had results from a product and I was like, tell me about the money. I just want to know. I'm just curious. I want to know. Ask the question. Just go up to the person that you know who's a network marketer and ask them to tell you about the money and figure out what do I have to do to make money? Because when I joined, I had to invest $800. I had to actually have that cash. That you don't have to do that in my company. You don't have to invest anything. In fact, if you want to buy a product, that's how you get started. We have no joining fees. Most of us are on a $100 business model. We spend about $100 a month to make whatever it is we want. And look for some of those kinds of questions and just start asking people and find your way through. Ask more than one person for sure. Get some feedback from multiple people about how, show me how the money works. Because that's, if you're here to make money, you've got to understand that business side.
I love that. Be curious, ask questions, right? Don't be shy, get out there. And just, Rebecca, thanks for being here and just sharing your wisdom and your insights around the network marketing industry, about earning extra income, about what to look for, who to look for, who to align with. You're obviously somebody that I would encourage somebody to reach out to and just connect with because you do walk the talk, talk the walk, whatever that saying is.
Walk the talk.
Yeah, and just appreciate you being here and just sharing and just thanks so much. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you.
Okay, well, that was awesome. It's just so great to hear Rebecca's perspective on what to look for when you're choosing your partnered company right within the network marketing industry. So if you're out there and you're looking for some extra income or you're wanting an exit strategy out of what you're currently doing, or maybe you even want to go bigger and you're looking for a retirement plan, and you've been curious about the direct selling industry, network marketing, MLM, hopefully today's episode shed some light on what to consider and what to look for when choosing the right partner for you. And so if you want to learn more from Rebecca, I definitely encourage you to reach out to her, check out her products, check out the business she's a part of. I know she would be more than happy to share with you. And so once again, everybody, just thanks so much for listening. Appreciate you all. With love, greatness, and success, it's Kelly Beveridge.